What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Yanks of the Cop. We are here for the transfer window opening special. As always, we are your hosts, Sophie and Steve. Homie and Andrew are off tonight. And for the opening of the window, we had to bring up a very special guest. You all know him. He is now a recurring guest, James Pierce. James, thanks for making some time for us tonight. How you doing?
Evening, guys. Yeah, very good. Thank you. You okay?
Living the dream out here in America.
Yeah, living the dream out here in America.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, Soph?
I'm good. I mean, I was just saying before, I had a pre-podcast nap, and I seem to have woke up on the wrong side. A little bit cranky, but I'm fine.
Love that. Love that. But James, thanks again for coming on. But let's get right into it. Before we jump into transfer rumors and things of that nature, I think there's a couple things I just wanted to get your opinion on. And I think the biggest thing, especially for Sophie and I, we are big Gini Wijnaldum fans. And obviously, he was about to go to Barcelona, pulls a last-minute U-turn on his way over to PSG. And we just did an appreciation show for him. He is absolutely – he's been a massive player for us. Seems like he's going to be a really tough player to replace. I mean, what are your thoughts on his exit? Because it sounds like he's got something he's going to drop after the Euros about some sort of stuff with either management or the coaching staff. So what are your thoughts on Gini Wijnaldum leaving the team for PSG?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's a massive shame. I think – you only had to read Klopp's quotes about him, around the final day of the season to get a grasp of the fact that clearly Jurgen Klopp didn't want to lose Gini Wijnaldum. I think Wijnaldum said himself, didn't he, that ideally he would have stayed around for a lot longer. I think I can see both sides of it. I can see why Wijnaldum at this stage in his career is thinking, this is probably his last kind of real big contract. You know, he's 30 going on 31. You know, he quite rightly probably looks at what he's won in the last few years and the fact he's been virtually ever present for Liverpool for so long and probably thought, well, you know what, I deserve a contract that puts me up there with the absolute main men. My information was it wasn't just about the weekly salary, it was also about the length of the deal as well. But Liverpool have this policy where they won't dish out long, lucrative extensions to players who have gone past 30. And I can kind of understand in a way that, you might give him, I'd say for argument's sake, a 4-year deal on 180 grand a week or 200 grand a week or whatever. And, that might make perfect sense for the next 12 months. But then is it still going to make that sense paying him that kind of money in 3 years' time or whatever? So a real shame they couldn't reach a compromise. An interesting read in those quotes from Wijnaldum earlier on today. But I think, what he was alluding to was more the kind of, the policy in terms of the way that Liverpool approach these contract renewals rather than, it's certainly no issues between him and Klopp or between him and any of the players.
Mm. See, I just think that with the Gini thing, I feel like he left on really good terms and then he's put up these like really suggestive tweets over the last couple of days, being like, oh, I'll reveal the information later. Oh, I'll reveal the information after the Euro games and stuff like that. And I feel like he's, as much as I love Gini, I feel like he's stirring the pot a little bit now, trying to bring up, some like distrust within the fan base because now we're not sure whether it was it a clean cut deal as yourself and other people are saying. Like, is it Gini just didn't get the contract extension he wanted or the money he wanted? But seems to be a lot more going on behind the scenes now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was more. I think for a start, he's not putting this stuff out there. He's obviously with the Netherlands squad ahead of the Euros, and I'm sure he's getting bombarded with requests from the. Getting bombarded with requests from the media over there in Holland to kind of explain what went on. Because I think probably like the rest of us, I'm sure the Dutch media are scratching their heads, saying, "Well, hang on a minute, you were playing every week. Klopp is this." Gushing tribute to you. It doesn't seem to make much sense why you would possibly leave Liverpool. Why, what was it that you didn't like about the terms of the deal that they put on the table. So, I'm quite intrigued to see what he has to say after the Euros when the Netherlands campaign is complete. But I'd be surprised if he didn't allude to the fact that, you know, it was, you know, he essentially didn't get, you know, a long enough extension on good enough terms that he felt, you know, represented his value to the club. And I don't massively blame him for that. And I think regardless of that, you know, he's a player that will always be guaranteed a great reception whenever he comes back to Anfield in the future.
Fair enough. Fair enough. just want to go on Gareth's comments here, just while we're on the topic of Gini still. Bissouma, perfect replacement for Gini Wijnaldum. I've made my opinion on Bissouma very, very clear. I just kind of wanted your guys' opinion because everyone seems to think that he's like the perfect Gini replacement. I personally don't see it. But I just kind of wanted to get everyone else's opinion on that, really.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think I think it really depends. And I was going to follow up with James on some potential outgoings for transfer fees. But I mean, we know our situation. We know how hard we were hit by the pandemic. So, you know, it's going to be a question for me is how much money FSG is willing to cough up for players. And I think Brighton, especially with, you know, the project that they have going over there, Danny Welbeck, Adam Alana coming in last year, and I thought they were going to be a lot farther up the table than they were. And I think they're building something over there. So whether they let him walk or not, I think is a big question. But personally, I think there's a couple other names I think might be a better fit. But again, yeah, I mean, James, you're a little bit closer to the situation. I mean, what are your thoughts on Bissouma as a player? And I just think it's going to be impossible to replicate Gini Wijnaldum and how reliable he was for this team.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like Bissouma. I'm not 100% convinced he's Liverpool quality, to be honest with you. I think, and I also think just the way that things are in the Premier League, I think, you know, you would end up paying a ridiculous premium for him in the same way as you would do if you tried to go and sign Ben White this summer. Liverpool like Ben White, you know, in the last couple of years, but it just never really looked realistic, because you just knew that there'd be better value elsewhere. And I think the same is probably true of Bissouma. And, you know, the piece I wrote, I think probably about 2 weeks ago now, you know, having spoken to a few people, was that Bissouma isn't someone that Liverpool are currently looking to pursue a deal for. So, I'd be surprised if that stance changes. Of course, looking ahead towards next season as well, you'd have the added complication of losing another player to the Africa Cup of Nations midway through the season if you did go down that route.
Well, that brings up a really good point that I wanted to ask you, because obviously, Manchester City won by 17 points on us. So obviously we got to do a few things to be able to close the gap. Obviously getting healthy will be a massive thing for us. I think our starting 11 is as good as anybody out there, but now, what key positions do you get a sense that Liverpool might be trying to upgrade? We all knew center back was one. We checked that box with Konate. But especially with Mane and Salah leaving for the AFCON, do you think that we could potentially looking at a striker and a winger? Or and this overall, like maybe another midfielder? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think another attacker is now the priority, you know, having addressed that center back issue. I think the centre-back was always going to be the priority, and, you know, no surprise that was, you know, Liverpool were very ruthless and, in terms of getting that deal over the line very, very quickly after the end of the season. I think, it was my colleague David Ornstein on The Athletic that broke that story back at the back end of March. I think it was that Liverpool were in advanced talks with Konate's people then. And, having spoken to people who have worked closely with him since, because I haven't seen a huge amount of him myself. Of course, he didn't play against Liverpool in either leg of the Champions League tie against Leipzig. But, you know, he seems to tick all the boxes in terms of, in terms of pace and aerial ability, comfortable with the ball at his feet. So that's one big box ticked. But, yeah, I think certainly another attacking option is an absolute must. you know, not just with one eye on the Africa Cup of Nations. I think that has to be a consideration because, you know, you're losing two of your elite attackers at such a pivotal stage. But I just think in general, I think, you know, surely we've reached the end of the road with Divock Origi and his Liverpool career this summer. I'd expect him to be amongst the list of players that do move on. You know, you're probably looking at the end of the road for Shaqiri as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, another attacking player is an absolute must. And I know, although, you know, I was told that Liverpool don't look upon a centre midfielder as an absolute necessity, despite losing Wijnaldum, because, you know, they look at the fact that, you know, I think we saw, you know, from Thiago in the last probably 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, you know, him, you know, suddenly click and looked, you know, an absolute, you know, that he looked like the world-class player we all thought that Liverpool had signed last September. So, you know, with him and, of course, Fabinho, you know, we won't see Fabinho at centre-half next season. And Henderson coming back to fitness. And, you know, of course, you know, I think there's probably question marks still over Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita. But, you know, the club stance at the moment is that they aren't going anywhere. Curtis Jones, of course, will have a bigger role to play. So I still think I'd be really surprised if Liverpool didn't bring in another midfielder later in the window. But, you know, like I said, my information a couple of weeks ago was that it wasn't viewed as an absolute priority at the moment. And I think a lot of that is probably linked to, you know, Liverpool almost, you know, waiting to see what they can raise from sales. I think, you know, that's going to have an impact in terms of what else they can do in this window. You know, how much can they raise from those fringe players that are now surplus to requirements?
I'm just wondering about thinking about ingoings and outgoings. Obviously, Harvey Elliott's finished his loan spell at Blackburn. We've seen him back at the Kirby training ground and that. Is there any news on whether he'll be going out on loan again? Will he be staying with Liverpool for next season?
Yeah, well, the plan with Harvey Elliott at the moment is that he will do pre-season with Liverpool. You know, that's my understanding based on speaking to people at the club and also people close to Harvey himself. And that is, you know, his target is to absolutely hit the ground running in pre-season and prove to Jurgen Klopp that he doesn't need to go anywhere and he can have a role to play for the first team next season. And I think, you know, I think that is well within his grasp. I think, you know, you only had to read some of the feedback from the staff and the players who we worked with at Blackburn to know that, you know, they absolutely loved him to bits there. And you know, his stats in the Championship were massively impressive. So yes, of course, it's a step up to do it for Liverpool in the Premier League, but he's certainly got the potential. So I think, you know, I think that'll be one where it's almost come in for pre-season, you know, grasp your opportunity and prove to the manager that you don't need to go anywhere. And, you know, if it doesn't quite work out like that, if suddenly, you know, Liverpool make another attack in signing, if all the other attackers are looking in great shape, then, you know, maybe at the back end of the window, they'll look at a loan. But I'd be surprised. I as things stand at the moment, I'd expect Harvey Elliott to be part of the senior squad next season.
Yes. That would be awesome. No, see, I think for me, I think it's a win-win. I think if he does enough in preseason to stay on the team, he could be, you know, our version of Phil Foden, you know, the guy, a younger guy who just trains a lot with the first team, gets that mentorship from guys like James Milner and those guys. And who knows, in a couple of years, he could, you know, just come out of nowhere and be amazing. But speaking of, you know, loans and everything, I think, like you mentioned earlier, I think this is going to be the time to stop loaning out these guys and let them go out on permanent deals. Guys like Marco Grujic, Harry Wilson, I think those two especially, I think we've probably missed the mark a little bit in past seasons, maybe overvalued in my opinion. I saw you come out with a piece mentioning that, you know, Porto were leaders right now for Marco Grujic, but can you just talk about, you know, those guys who went out on loan, maybe Grujic and Wilson, and any sort of price tags Liverpool is looking for? And also, you know, I saw that Leeds potentially is interested in Harry Wilson. You know, any connections there that you're seeing that for potential destinations for these guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Grujic Porto my information was that, you know, they are still the most kind of the likely destination for Marco Grujic. Of course, he spent the season just gone there on loan, you know, and really blossomed in the second half of the season under Sergio Conceição, and they're very keen to keep him on board. I think initially they were hoping they might even be able to convince Liverpool to loan him again for another season, but you know, that's not of any real value to Liverpool. He's down to the last 2 years of his contract now, and this is the summer to sell him, really. He came close to leaving a year ago when Liverpool were in discussions with Werder Bremen, but they couldn't find, I think it was 18 million Liverpool were after then. This time around, it's about 15 million. And, you know, Porto are in the process of raising money themselves from sales. That, you know, if that goes according to plan, then they should have sufficient funds to get that deal done. If they don't, then, Liverpool have had a number of requests for, you know, for clubs from, I think, Italy and Germany have asked to be kept updated in terms of Grujic's situation. I'd be absolutely amazed if Grujic was still a Liverpool player in a couple of months' time. In a summer when, you know, there's going to be a lot of interest in terms of how much Liverpool can generate from sales, I think he's probably one of the most valuable assets they've got, really, because he did feature in terms of that Porto team that reached the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And then Harry Wilson, I don't think anything will happen with Harry Wilson until after the Euros.
I forget we've got him, you know, all the time.
Yeah. Well, again, it's, you know, he's come close to leaving previously. Of course, last summer, Liverpool were in, you know, extended discussions with Burnley. I don't even think they were that far off in terms of valuations. I think Burnley were willing to pay 12 million. Liverpool wanted 15. Still looking for around 15 for him after, you know, a decent enough season on loan at Cardiff. But, you know, the issue he's got is probably, you know, you're probably not going to get a Championship club shelling out 15 million for him. I think you're looking kind of bottom half of the Premier League, maybe one of the promoted teams. But I think Liverpool are also hoping that if he has a decent Euros, then that's bound to, you know, create a bit more interest in him and maybe even a bidding war. I think, you know, him and Grujic, similar price tags around that 15 million pound mark, and probably the same with Divock Origi as well. I know, you know, previous windows Liverpool have talked about, you know, trying to get in excess of 20 million for Origi, but I just think, you know, he's had such a bleak 12 months. You know, I think I didn't even realise till I came back from holiday that he hadn't even been named on the standby list for Belgium for the Euros. So, you know, not only did he miss the, you know, the initial list, but he wasn't even one that was told to, you know, to be on standby just in case. So, and that kind of shows you how far he's dropped off the radar. So he needs to pursue a new challenge. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, what kind of offers do come in for Origi. I know Wolves have been keen previously, but never keen enough to really test Liverpool's resolve with a decent enough bid. And then of course you've got, you know, Shaqiri is another one that, you know, it's, you know, again, I think clearly Liverpool would sell if the right offer came in. Minamino, I think it's a bit different with Minamino. I think at the moment they are planning for next season with Minamino on board in terms of coming back, doing pre-season. They could potentially lose him to the Olympics because Japan want him to go over there as one of the overage players. But I think Minamino's more in that category of player that, you know, I think if they got a really good offer, then of course they would sell. But I don't think he's one that they're really looking to kind of actively move on at the moment.
Mm. I think Taki's going to be
quite a lot, doesn't it?
What was that, Soph?
That sums up quite a lot.
Yeah, no, that was great.
Every time he says, I'm like, I'll ask about him in a minute. Oh, no, he's answered it. I'll ask about him. No, he's answered it. Never mind. She is, James.
So, James, I mean, just one thing I noticed today, Rafinha from Leeds, you know, he seems like he's been talking with Bobby Firmino a little bit. And one thing I just noticed today out of the blue was that, on the Leeds website, he's no longer listed on the first team as a squad member anymore. I think Liverpool, there's a lot of different Liverpool fans. I've seen already a few things in the chat here, you know, clamoring for Rafinha to join. I know Sophie is one person who absolutely loves Rafinha's game. Have you heard of Liverpool having any interest in him, or is that kind of just all speculation at this point?
No, just speculation at this point, I think. Yeah, I think, clearly, you know, yeah, I think I'd find it a bit odd if Liverpool weren't interested in someone as gifted as him, and clearly the friendship he's got with Firmino would certainly ease, would be helpful if they did go down that route. But no, at the moment I'm not aware of them pursuing anything with him at the moment. It's all pretty quiet in terms of incomings at the moment. I think. I think a lot, at the moment is kind of a wait and see in terms of what happens with the outgoings.
Mm-hmm. Way to burst me bubble. I'm not excited. I was made up when we thought we were going to get Rafinha, and now you burst me bubble well and truly.
I'm not saying it won't happen. I just said I don't think he's going to suddenly rock up outside Anfield tomorrow.
I wish he would. I'd be made up. Just do a canard saying, just rock up in a big blue, like, luminescent coat. That'd be great.
Well, speaking of Konate, I mean, James, I mean, it seemed clear. Now, we had you on in January, and you mentioned that Liverpool had an idea of their number one center back target then. So it seems like they got their guy, Konate. They wrapped that up pretty quickly. In my opinion, he seems like the kind of guy who has all the traits to be a world-class center back in the coming years. I don't think he's there yet. You know, some of the games I've seen, he has made a few mistakes, but he has a lot of confidence in himself. What are Liverpool getting in a guy like Konate, and why does Klopp love him so much to bring him in? And also, do you think he has a chance to start, or do you think that's going to be a more of a Joe Gomez slash Matip to start the season?
Yeah, I think it's probably difficult at the moment to tell whether he becomes an automatic starter or not. I think because he has got decent experience for someone so young. I was actually speaking to a couple of his old teammates at Sochaux in France today, and he was playing, he was marking Falcao, at the age of 17 on his debut against Monaco in the French Cup, and I think it was that summer that he moved on to Leipzig, and 4 years in the Bundesliga, I think close to 100 appearances. So he's, in centre-back terms, he's still very young, I think at 22, but he has got a lot of experience. And of course, when you shell out that kind of money, you're clearly not just looking upon him as a backup option. I think the nice thing for Klopp is he probably won't have to, I think it will be a case of, seeing how quickly he adjusts to the style in pre-season, whether he becomes almost like an automatic starter or not. I think the other thing is, you're probably looking, obviously, when everyone's back up to speed, it's kind of, we're essentially saying who's going to partner Van Dijk, because, clearly there's only going to be really one place at centre-back up for grabs once Van Dijk is back. But, at this stage, my information was that out of Van Dijk, Gomez and Matip, Gomez was the kind of more advanced of the three in terms of their rehab. I think the more I spoke to people about Konate, the more you could understand why Klopp really wanted him. The fact that, we talk a lot, don't we, about Liverpool's high defensive line and the importance of pace and being able to read the game and of course, the aerial threat, which I think Liverpool massively missed without Van Dijk and without Matip for most of last season. So I think he ticks those boxes. And we also know that Klopp absolutely loves a player who, has achieved a fair amount already, but Klopp is convinced has got a really high ceiling and can go a lot further. And I think certainly he has Konate in that category. I think it's going to be interesting to see what else how Klopp handles the kind of centre back department, because, of course, Nat Phillips was exceptional in you know, so integral to Liverpool getting that Champions League spot. And then it's like, you know, what happens next for Nat Phillips? Because, you know, you're probably looking at, you know, obviously once the three lads are back from long-term injury and you've got Konate, you know, is Nat Phillips going to be happy being fifth choice, which essentially, you know, is probably where he's going to find himself. So, yeah, I think, you know, I was told with Phillips that, you know, the plan is very much to have him on board for pre-season and then see what happens. Because I think Liverpool just have to be really careful with the centre-back situation because, you know, it's all well and good saying, well, we've got three coming back. But we all know that, you know, when players come back from serious injuries, you know, you can't just count on them, you know, staying fit, especially with, you know, the record that Matip's had in recent years. And Gomez has obviously had a number of issues as well. And of course, sometimes players come back from serious injuries and then play and then pick up small little issues that can hassle them for a while. So I think, you know, five, you know, reliable centre backs is the absolute minimum for next season, probably even six, when, you know, you're probably going to need to loan out Rhys Williams. And that's why I wasn't massively surprised recently when I checked it out and I was told that Ben Davis, who of course, you know, we've yet to see in a Liverpool shirt, you know, I think maybe a lot of people thought that would automatically mean that he would be shifted on this summer. But, you know, again, I was told, no, the plan is for Ben Davis to be on board for pre-season. And I think that will be probably, you know, in case, you know, let's see what happens with Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez with the final stages of their rehab. And you know, I think decisions on people like Ben Davis and Phillips will be for much later in the summer.
It's funny because I literally was about to ask you about these guys, but do you think there's any chance that if we got a decent offer for a guy like Matip, we could move on from him? Just because, like, listen, when he's healthy, he's world class, but he's proven over the last two or three years that he really can't play more than a game a week without getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being brutally honest, I think, yeah, you'd say, wouldn't you, that if you got a decent offer for Matip, then of course, with his, you know, pretty bleak fitness record in the last few years, that would make sense. The only thing is, I just don't see, you know, who's possibly going to be wanting to make a decent offer for someone with such a checkered injury record in the last few years. And especially, you know, he's a high wage earner as well. So, I think, it, you know, because a lot of people have said that to me, we'll just get rid of Matip. That's probably the best thing to do. But it's like, you know, that's all well and good in theory. But I think the practice is probably, you know, a lot more difficult in trying to move someone on. I mean, someone said to me, well, you know, surely, you know, Schalke would have him back or something. And it's like, well, you know, Schalke have just been relegated from the Bundesliga because they are going to be taking on a fella who, I don't know what his wages are, but, you know, you're going to be looking at well in excess of 100 grand a week.
Mm-hmm. So there was news that came out the other day that Adrian wasn't being given a contract extension at the end of the summer, he'd be leaving Liverpool. And then around about 10 came, as though Adrian's actually now being given a contract extension and Kelleher's going out on loan. Is there any truth that you're aware of to those claims? Because for us as Liverpool fans, really, I'd rather have Kelleher over Adrian at the minute. And I'd be a bit annoyed if after everything that Adrian gets a contract extension when he made the bench for most games this season for Liverpool. So just is there any truth to these rumours that are just swirling around?
Yeah, well, for a start, on Kelleher, no, I was told he won't go out on loan next season. I was told that the plan is that he is now the number two to Alisson and he will stay as backup to Alisson. So I don't know who published those stories about Kelleher. I did see them knocking around, but no, I'd be absolutely amazed if that stance changes because, yeah, Liverpool are going to give Kelleher a new contract based on the fact that, you know, to recognise the fact that he is now regarded as the backup to Alisson. And you know, the way that the dynamic works with the goalkeeping training group that John Akterberg oversees is, you know, they need three senior goalkeepers, and So that's why, you know, again, like I've had people say to me, why on earth would you possibly make Adrian an offer to stay? And it's like, well, what do you got to factor in is it's all well and good to say, well, just let Adrian go. But if you let Adrian go, you then have to replace him. And then, you know, are you really going to want to spend money on a, you know, essentially a third choice goalkeeper? Or you're then delving around in the free transfer market to potentially bring someone in. And the thing with Adrian, I know he has made some high profile mistakes in big games, but he's also a really popular guy around the squad and around the training ground. And the reality is, you know, the fact that he's, you know, there aren't, you know, is yes, he's got his faults, but he would be third choice. So, someone said to me today they think he may well stay around for another 12 months, but at the moment, you know, I think he's weighing up his options. I know he's had some offers back in Spain, I think he was thinking about whether potentially it would be a good time to move back home to Spain and to a club where maybe he would play more often and kind of take his family back home if you want. But that one's yet to be resolved. But if he did stay, then it would be his third choice. I think he knows that because, you know, Kelleher, they were so impressed with him last season. It was just a shame that, you know, he picked up quite a nasty injury in the second half of the season. It was like an abdominal muscle injury that every time he kept trying to come back, he just broke down again in training. So that was why I think he kind of resurfaced for a couple of games on the bench and then disappeared again. But touch wood, that's all behind him now. I don't see Kelleher going out on loan.
Awesome. Yeah, I've really loved what he did when he came in. He looks like he has the confidence, great ball stopper, and he's getting some minutes for the Irish as well, which is great to see. What's your, especially at the beginning of the season, one thing that really irritated me a little bit among a minority of Liverpool fans was the slack that was given to a guy like Nico Williams. You know, he's still a young guy, only had a few moments of opportunities, and I think it was very up and down, obviously. Some great moments, some not so great moments. Is Klopp comfortable, do you think? Do you get a sense that they're comfortable keeping him as the backup option for Trent? I mean, Trent's, you know, it seems like as long as he's healthy, he's going to play. He doesn't rest too much. But I know some Liverpool fans would like to see a little bit more competition for Trent there. What is your sense around the club with how they think of Nico Williams?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of belief in Nico Williams from – certainly the people that I've spoken to. I checked out recently whether fullback cover was something that was seriously being looked at this summer, and I was told no, that's not a priority for Liverpool. So of course things can change over, you know, the coming weeks and months if a deal suddenly opens up, but no, they seem pretty relaxed. I think, you know, obviously on the left-hand side, you know, we barely saw Tsimikas, did we, in a Liverpool shirt last season after his move to Anfield. But I think there's a belief that kind of, you know, with his injury issues now behind him and, you know, having settled in a new country, that he'll be better equipped to ease the burden on Robertson next season. And similarly on the other flank, that Nico Williams will be better able to ease the burden a bit on Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, I think it just has to be a bit of a dose of realism with, on, you know, the backup to Trent, because, you know, I see some names get banded around and you think, well, you're not going to commit, you know, big money to a reserve right back when, you know, you only have to look at the way that Trent was so influential in the way Liverpool finished the season. But, you know, the reality is if he's fit, he starts. Like, you know, there's not going to be very, very many occasions next season where you'd even think about rotating Trent, I don't think. And yes, Nico had some tough moments at times last season, and it was pretty horrendous. Some of the stick he got on social media that was absolutely, you know, bang out of order. you know, in terms of abusing a young player that, you know, is still learning his trade and is bound to make mistakes at times. But, you know, he's got a really exciting summer ahead of him, Nico Williams, you know, part of the Wales squad at the Euros, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on. Hopefully he can come back to Liverpool on a high, having done well with Wales and really kind of push Trent next season. Because, you know, of course you do need competition in all departments, but, you know, I saw someone recently say to me that you know, Liverpool have to go and sign Ryan Bertrand as, you know, and it's like, well, you know, for a start, you just, you know, it's just completely unrealistic, isn't it, that you're going to, you know, for a start, why would Ryan Bertrand want to come as, you know, a backup right back, and you're not going to commit those kind of funds to getting someone like him. So, and I think the other thing to factor in is with Liverpool hopefully being much better stocked at centre-back next season, that there may even be occasions where Joe Gomez, you know, fills in at right-back if needs be. James Milner can do the job there if needs be. So, yeah, you know, in certainly, I think, you know, a central attacker and a central midfielder are much more important for Liverpool to pursue this summer in the market than backups at full-back.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. The only thing I wanted, I just wanted to touch on, because I know you said there's not a lot of incoming news going on at the minute, but obviously there's been speculation going on about Tielemans at Leicester, and then obviously he's done that solo lap of the King Power Stadium, which came out recently, which looks like he's saying goodbye to Leicester. Is because obviously there's been links with him to Liverpool as well. Is there any information about whether he's actually leaving Leicester? Is that just a coincidence, or is there some truth to that you're aware of?
No, not aware of anything on that at the moment. So no, all like I said, it's pretty quiet in terms of incomings at the moment. I think, it's silly season, isn't it, with so many rumours doing the rounds. I mean, it's I lose track of how many players Liverpool seem to get linked with day after day after day. And I think, you know, again, you know, I really like Tielemans, similar to Rafinha at Leeds in terms of, you know, you watch him play for Leicester and you think, you know, yeah, he would fit the bill. But then, you know, you've then got that Premier League premium that you'd have to pay, especially to, you know, to try and take him off another, you know, top six club. I think, you know, maybe one to keep an eye on later in the window. But I'm certainly not aware that anything's imminent.
Yeah, in terms, not to speak of a specific player, actually, you know, before we get to that, everyone in the chat, we appreciate you guys. Hit the like and subscribe button if you guys haven't yet. But in terms of just like profile of players, we've talked a lot on this podcast, especially that, you know, one of the things that we potentially could be missing, our co-host Wahomi goes on and on and on about this, is a lack of a goal scoring midfielder. So instead of maybe a like for like replacement for Gini Wijnaldum, you know, maybe you bring in a guy who could go get a goal from the midfield. You know, do you, just from like a fan perspective, James, do you kind of agree with that assessment that maybe if you were to fill in a center midfielder role, maybe more of a attacking midfielder position rather than a more box to box like Gini was?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Certainly from the perspective of having, you know, watched obviously every game and watched, you know, the, when you look at, I think, you know, at the end of every season, you probably look at areas where you think, well, where can Liverpool improve? And, you know, certainly if you rewind the clock a year, when Liverpool signed Thiago, all the talk then was that this would give Liverpool a new dimension for midfield and it would unlock other players and it would help Liverpool carry much more of a threat from central areas where, you know, I think traditionally key to the success in the Champions League and the Premier League in the seasons previous had been, you know, relying heavily on the fullbacks for creativity and obviously the front three for the firepower. But it just didn't quite work out last season, I don't think, as Liverpool and Klopp and Pep Linders had intended, because, you know, the fact that, you know, that just with the centre-back crisis, with the lack of personnel there, and just upset the whole balance of the team. So, So yeah, I know obviously, you know, Thiago popped up with a goal, didn't he, towards the back end of the season. But yeah, goals for midfield is still a glaring kind of weakness in this Liverpool squad. I mean, you know, I think the problem is as well that it's not like Klopp hasn't got attacking central midfield as he has. You know, the problem is that it just hasn't really happened for Naby Keita. It certainly didn't happen for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain last season. You know, it was, you know, really frustrating year for him, you know, hampered by injury in the first half of the season and then unable to really force his way in the second half. So, but yeah, I think if Liverpool do add to that midfield department, then it has to be someone who's going to carry a goal threat, because, yeah, it's just, you know, the numbers just aren't good enough, are they? You know, I think if you're serious about getting back challenging for the biggest prizes, you can't just be relying on the front three and the two fullbacks to create and score.
Well, speaking of that, James, I didn't want to cut you off, Sophie, but when we're healthy, I mean, I think we saw the best of Thiago when he played with Henderson and Fabinho those two different times, I think against Chelsea and Everton. You know, I thought those were two of his best games. I kind of had a feeling when we brought him in, as well as Jota, that there could be an opportunity for us to move to more of a 4-2-3-1 formation to kind of give Thiago some more freedom, let him get forward, and especially when you have guys like Henderson and Fabinho behind them, I think was still incredibly solid defensively. Do you get a sense that we could have a little bit more flexibility in terms of formation next year if we can stay completely healthy with Van Dijk and Gomez and Henderson returning?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think we probably would have seen more of that last season if the injuries hadn't decimated it. I think Klopp said himself he was, you know, because of so much upheaval last season, that he felt that, you know, he probably couldn't experiment and he couldn't change things that he wanted to at times, because he felt that they needed to try and cling to some kind of structure that they were all comfortable with. So yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll see, you know, a lot more of that Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago trio. I think, you know, it was kind of lost, wasn't it, amidst, you know, because of the fallout with losing Van Dijk in that Merseyside derby at Goodison last October. But, you know, that was Liverpool's midfield, you know, absolutely bossed that game that day. And I remember, thinking that it wasn't really going to get talked about, but it was like, well, actually, you know, he's now got a midfield, you know, that looks like the balance is absolutely perfect. And just because of circumstances, those three never played together again all season. So, so yeah, it does. I think, you know, you're right. I think if you can avoid injuries and avoid the issues that dogged Liverpool last season, then it gives Klopp much better flexibility to switch between 4-3-3, which of course is, you know, the one that he tends to do, and 4-2-3-1, which of course also gives him the possibility of finding room for, you know, Salah, Mane, Firmino and Jota if needs be, and, you know, or potentially a new arrival later on in the window.
Rob, just want to go into the chat because there are a couple of questions for you in here, James. Just first one here, Clinical Rian. He says, obviously, why do we still have to sell players to buy? You know, with obviously winning the Champions League, the Premier League, and then qualifying for the Champions League again, we've got quite a significant money coming in. And it just seems to feel that with all this money coming in, where is it going? Why are we not using it to fund the players? Because we obviously need these players, you know, we've got these gaps in the squad that need addressing. But why are we still having to sell every single one?
Yeah, well, I think a few things on that, and you know, I'm not here to defend the owners or anything like that. But just to kind of give an assessment as I understand the financial situation, and you know, I think the first thing to say is, you know, in terms of Liverpool's finances, it's all there in black and white in the accounts that get published each year. I mean, yeah, I lose count of the number of people on social media that say to me, well, you know, where's the 90 odd million from winning the Champions League gone? You know, where's the, you know, the 70 odd million from the Champions League last season? It's like, well, you know, Liverpool's wage bill is now second only to Manchester City, and it's, you know, it's £325 million a year. And you know, essentially it, you know, I think it rocketed again in the accounts that came out a couple of months back. And I think, you know, just after that has to be factored into the equation that it's, you know, it's, I think you can't just put transfers, you can't just look at transfers as a whole. You have to look at the bigger picture in terms of the finances, the, you know, the investment into infrastructure as well. You know, the fact that they're now pushing ahead with plans, you know, £60 million investment in the Anfield Road end to lift capacity to 61,000. You know, you look at the £50 million new training ground. You know, all these things, you know, cost a huge amount of money. So I can understand the frustration, but it's like, but I think a lot of people seem to have already forgotten that Liverpool at the moment have spent £35 million in this window, which has only just opened, and they haven't, you know, so they haven't, they didn't sell to buy Konate. It's, you know, the net spend at the moment is 35 million, which isn't, and you know, isn't a very small amount of money. And you know, very few other clubs have done anything so far. And it's not the case that Liverpool have to sell before they buy anyone else. It's just who they buy in the rest of the window will be influenced to a degree by what they can raise, which, you know, that has always been the case under FSG. And, you know, and I can understand the argument. Some people say, well, hang on a minute. You know, they bought Liverpool for 300 million. It's now worth, you know, 3 billion. You know, could they not just put, you know, 100 million in and say, well, there's 100 million to spend this summer? And it, well, of course, you know, they could with, you know, the way that FFP rules have been relaxed to a degree. But that's just not the way they've done things. You know, they've just not, that is not the way that FSG, they've always run Liverpool the same way, which is, you know, they don't take any money out of the club, but nor do they plough their own money into it. And it has to be a self-sustaining business model. And again, people get bored of hearing about it, but you can't underestimate the impact of the pandemic. And, you know, it was the latest accounts where I think the loss was, you know, 40 odd million plus loss for the 12 months. But that was only up to the end of May last year. Now, the next set of accounts are going to be much, much worse because, you know, people put the cost of the pandemic to Liverpool in excess of 120 million. So, yeah, I think qualifying for the Champions League was massive in terms of easing those financial concerns when you've got such a massive, massive wage bill. But it was never going to mean that there was suddenly going to be a huge spending spree this summer. And I still think when you look at those players that Liverpool are looking to move on, I still think Liverpool can raise 60 to 70 million quid, you know, this summer if Michael Edwards can drive the same kind of hard bargains that we've seen from him previously. And then of course, you know, that money will then be available to reinvest into the squad. So yeah, I think, you know, Klopp said himself, he's only looking at, I think he called it fine tuning. So, you know, it was never going to be a summer where he brought in, you know, five or six. I think it was, you know, I would still expect Liverpool to make at least two more signings in this window, but we might just have to be patient before those other incomings arrive. I think there is a bit of a misconception that there's like a massive pot of money just sitting in a corner at the AXA training center that the FSG aren't letting them spend. I think, you know, the reality is pretty different.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there, and I completely agree. I think what the injury showed us is that we just need two or three more starting 11 caliber players to come off the bench, and I think we'll be as good as anybody. I find it very hard that we're going to have the same injury crisis that we did this year again next year. But one more question in the chat here, James, and I want to ask you one other question after that. I know we're getting up the time here, but out of Nat Phillips, Ben Davies, and Reese, Gaurav here, he's in our chat often. He thinks Reese Williams has the highest ceiling. Just from your personal opinion, you know, who do you think out of those three may have, you know, the best Liverpool future?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd probably go along with Reece. I think only because he's obviously a lot younger. I think but I also think he probably needs a loan next season. I think with the players coming back and with Konaté on board, I don't really think there's any real value in keeping Reece Williams around as potentially sixth choice centre back. I'd really like him to go and play, you know, championship or higher for a season. I think that would do him good. But yeah, I think, you know, Nat Phillips has, I think, surpassed everyone's expectations. You know, I'd be lying if I thought I thought he was capable of getting anything anywhere close to the level of performance he produced in the run-in for Liverpool. And that's just going to be the intriguing thing, whether having had such a taste of it, is he prepared to stick around as fifth choice, or is Nat, you know, thinking, well, actually, you know, I really loved being like one of the main men. You know, maybe this is the time to, you know, to cut loose and go and play regularly elsewhere. And also from Liverpool's perspective, in the nicest possible way, probably Nat Phillips's value will probably never be higher than it is this summer on the verge, you know, on the back of those performances he put in. So yeah, and then, you know, obviously Ben Davies, I think we're all in the dark a bit in terms of what, you know, we just haven't seen him, have we? So
he's in the dark himself.
I didn't even think he existed.
Yeah, well, I did see him today, I think, on Liverpool's Instagram story, doing some cooking with Mona Nema. So I think that was an advert for corn, I think it was. But yeah, you know, for his sake, I hope he does get the opportunity, even if it's just friendlies in pre-season. I think having had that absolute buzz of joining Liverpool, you know, it's a shame for him that, you know, Klopp didn't feel as if, you know, he was ready to be thrown in at a time when there were so few other centre backs. But it's interesting the fact that, you know, he hasn't been told that he's available for transfer this summer. You know, and yeah, I think hopefully I'm sure he'll be thinking we'll come back in pre-season and try and prove a point to the manager. I know Klopp has said a few times to him that he sees parallels with Andy Robertson's kind of first 6 months at Liverpool in terms of needing to adjust to his surroundings. But, you know, I think, you know, of course, the stories are very different is Andy Robertson only had to get past Alberto Moreno. And, you know, Ben Davies is going to find himself trying to get past, you know, Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez and Konaté. So, I wouldn't disagree with what the guy said on Reece Williams. But I think probably needs a loan before we know whether he's really got a Liverpool future in the long term.
Well, last question for you here, James, before we let you go here. One of our guys in the chat here, Julian, has a feeling there are going to be quite a few contract extensions. And I'd like one to get your opinion on it, because I know there's a lot of guys due for some extensions, Alisson being one, potentially Van Dijk, Fabinho. Any news on that front with re-signing our key guys?
Yeah, well, certainly that's something that will kick in this summer. And again, those kind of things don't come cheap, because you can guarantee these key personnel will all want, significant hikes on what they're on already. So that is a key element of Michael Edwards' work this summer. I think, you know, all contract renewals were on hold during the pandemic. I think it was no surprise whatsoever that they didn't dish any out at a time when, you know, the revenues coming into the club had been absolutely decimated. I think now there's a sense that we're getting back to normality, and that certainly match day revenues are going to recover in the coming months. I was told that Alisson is pretty much at the front of the queue at the moment. You know, I think once Alisson comes back from the Copa America, that will be sorted out pretty quickly, because they're determined to keep him beyond his deal. And then there's various others there that you mentioned that will follow soon after, like Fabinho, and I'm sure they'll be looking at Salah and Mane as well, because once players get down to those last 2 years, you need to take action as a club, because if you don't, then suddenly their value drops off a fair bit.
No, I completely agree. So Sounds like it's going to be a busy summer. Hopefully it'll be a busy summer. Some exits, a couple of new guys coming in, like you said, James. But as always, we always appreciate you joining us every window to give us a quick update on Liverpool. You know, everyone in the chat, we appreciate you all. If you haven't yet, hit that like and subscribe button. But James, thanks again, man. This was a ton of fun. And thanks for giving us the, you know, a look behind the curtain.
No worries, guys. Nice chatting to you. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. And we'll be back on Friday for another episode. But take care. Up the Reds.